Good morning. Today's Daf and Tanya is Tes Zayin. We start on the Gemara on Tes Vav Amud Beis immediately after the Mishnah. The Mishnah yesterday, opening up the second parak of the Masechta. So it goes through Seder Tanya. Seder Tanya is basically the protocol. What is the day going to look like? The day in which we're fasting. So as we know, there are three rounds of Tanya Tzibur, three rounds of public fast days. So rounds one and two are only three, meaning Monday, Thursday, Monday. We saw in the Mishnah yesterday, Machlokas, whether the second one should be starting on a Thursday or the second one should be starting on a Monday. But let's right now just get a good broad outline of what we're looking at. And then the third round is going to be made up of 7 days with each successive round. So that, of course, means that we weren't answered in round number one and we weren't answered in round number two. And that's why we're moving on to another round. And so, therefore, there's an intensification. The Mishnah over here is really describing the third round. Now, I say that not because the Mishnah said that, but because the Gemara is about to teach us that. So we're going to see it together in the Gemara, that this Mishnah over here, really this long, it's not a long Mishnah. It's all the Mishnayos just front-loaded in the beginning of the Perek. So these long Mishnayos that are going in and giving a very, very detailed description of what the day looks like is really now in round number three. So and over here, so some of the highlights that we saw yesterday, I'm not going to go through the whole all the Mishnayos, but some of the highlights that we saw yesterday is that number one, and the Gemara is going to acknowledge, by the way, how we're going to have such a visceral reaction to this, and that is the Teva is taken out of the shul and brought right into the street. And not only is the Aron taken out into the street, but you're going to take ashes and you're going to put it on top of the Aron. And so it's really, it's powerful. It's powerful imagery in terms of the removal of the Aron from the shul. On top of that, your Shmon Esrei is a totally different Shmon Esrei. Not totally. Okay, let's not. Sorry, that was overstating it. But your Shmon Esrei is going to look very different. All right, standard Shmon Esrei is 18 brachas. I know there's a 19th bracha that was added at a later point in time. But right now we're assuming Shmon Esrei is the original, the 18 brachas Shmon Esrei. And then it's going to be added. Six brachas are going to be added to your Shmon Esrei. Okay, that's a lot of additions of brachas to the Shmon Esrei. There's no other time in the year where you have so many additional brachas to Shmon Esrei, right? Even Musaf Rosh Hashanah, you're adding three brachas to your Shmon Esrei. But over here, in addition to the standard Shmon Esrei, you're going to be adding an additional six brachas. So that's a lot. The Mishnayos went through, we saw this yesterday, all the additional brachas that are added. We're going to see a little bit more of it today because today we're going to be quoting a lot of brachas. There's just a lot of words in today's daf. We're going to be quoting a lot of brachas. We're going to see more about those additional six brachas that are going to be inserted in your Shmon Esrei. Okay, and also there's going to be the blowing of the shofar, meaning during these additional six brachas, you blow on the shofar. We'll also do a little bit more of that in today's daf as well. Okay, and then the Mishnah went on from there, but that's basically it in terms of what we're just going to highlight and go over from yesterday's daf, and let's go and pick it up right in the Gemara. So we're on Tes Vav Amud Beis, and we're starting now with the Gemara, Seder Tanis Ketzan, Motzina Sateva, Ve'afila Bekamaisa. Now, the removal of the Aron from the Shul, which is a big move. So the Gemara is now wondering, you're going to be doing that in round one? You're doing that in round two? So the Gemara says, V'riminu, it's simply not true. Shal Shtanios Rishonos V'shneos Nechrasan Lebeis HaKnesses. So we see in this Braisa that for the first round and for the second round, so you're going into the Shul. Oh, Mispalim Kedarchim Mispalim Kol Hashana Kula. And you're davening like you would for the rest of the year. V'shev Achronos. Now when it comes to the last of the fast days, meaning the third round, then you're taking the Aron out into the street, and you're taking ashes and you're putting it on the Aron and on the Nasi and on the Abezdin, and everyone's putting on their own heads. Rabbi Nasan Omer, Efer Mikla, Hain Mevian. And Rabbi Nassim says that's Efer Mikla. It's a specific type of ashes that are put on. Okay, so what comes out now over here in the Braisa is that the Braisa is clearly telling us that this removal of the Aron and the Shul is only in round number three. So the Gemara is going to tell us what I already told you a couple of times, but I only said it because I looked ahead. So Amra Papa Kitananami Masis and Hashav Achronos Tanan. Good. So now, as you learn the second parak of Tanis, which we did yesterday, we went through all the Mishnayos. So understand that these Mishnayos are describing what is happening in round number three, not in round number one, not in round number two. We continue. Uverosha nasi v'adu tini kol echa v'echad, notu v'nosim b'rosho ini. So what is, in terms of the placement of the ashes, so we place the ashes on the head of the nasi and the Av Beis Din. The Gemara quotes a, let's call this a brisa, v'hatanya. And when they're writing our Gemara, the Gemara says v'atanan, but it's a, to be corrected. Rabbi Omer b'gedola matchila min agado v'klala matchila min akatan. So, the when you're talking about gedula, greatness, so you start with a great, and then uv'klala, and when talking about cursing, so you start with the katan. To clarify better, b'gedola matchila min agado shenem rabbi Omer Moshe el Aaron el Azar l'isamar. So the Torah describes that when giving appointments to greatness, so you start from the greatest, meaning you start with Moshe and you work your way down from there. Now v'klala matchila min akatan. Now when giving klala, so and the Torah is enumerating and there's a list, so you start from the lowest and you work your way up, and that is the Amar Mar, right? B'tchila niskalal nachash v'achakach niskalal chava v'achakach niskalal adam. And so we go from the Nachash to Chava to Adam. So we start from the lowest and we go to the top. Okay. So basically what the Gemara is bothered by over here is that we're taking ashes and we're putting them. So right now the Gemara's question is the order. How come in the Mishnah, so we're going from the Nasi to the Av Beis, isn't this Klala? Meaning shouldn't we be going in the other direction? Okay. It's a procedural question. It's not a, right, we're not asking a fundamental question, but just procedurally, how come the Mishnah starting from the top going down, when meanwhile this is clearly klala? So the Gemara's answer, ha chashivusa liditu. So the Gemara says, well, we're not looking at the Mishnah properly or correctly. Meaning, this is really, it's chashivus. Meaning, even though obviously the fact that we don't have rain and the fact that we're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain, obviously all that's bad, but in terms of putting ashes on people's heads, right, it's a little bit strange, but in the context of the Gemara, we're going to understand right, we do start from the top because it's basically we're marking whose tefillas are more receptive. The Gemara says, "Da'amri lahon ason chashivus lemibay alan rachamei akule alma." In other words, when we go to the Nasi and we say, "Here, we're putting ashes on your head," we're basically we're saying your tefillas are the most receptive. Good. So it is kind of like an appointment, right? In a strange way, in a roundabout way. And then we go to the Av Beis Din, right? Your tefillas are acceptable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then the rest of us. Okay, so the procedurally, it does make sense to start from the top and work its way down, even though it's in the context of klala.
It's really a solution to klala.
Right? The solution to klala. Okay. Kol echa ve'echa nota menosem b'rosha, amar Rav Ada, that's all in parentheses, so we can just take it out. V'chol echa ve'echa b'rosha, nasi va'av beis din nami nishkalu inu v'nisna b'roshayim. So now the next question in the Gemara is, it's a great pickup, meaning that for the Av Beis Din, for the Nasi, we put it on their head, but then for everybody else, everybody just simply applies the ashes to their own head. And so what the Gemara wants to know is that why doesn't the Nasi and the Av Beis Din do the same thing? Notably, put the ashes on their own head. So the Gemara says, "Maishan deshakal inish achrino manach lehu." How come other people are putting the ashes on their head? So I'm a Rebbe Abba, demin kesare, eno damim mizbaish me'atzmo lemizbaish me'acherim. So the Gemara says, "Well, we all know that just from the standpoint of embarrassment, if there's nothing worse than being embarrassed by others. Meaning, you can embarrass yourself. Again, embarrassment over here, we don't like mob and pene chaveru. In other words, not that kind of embarrassment. We're just talking about degradation. And in terms of degradation, so when you put the ashes on yourself, that's a level. But when someone else puts it on you, that's even a higher level. And we're looking for higher degradation. Meaning, again, over here, the whole idea is that we're basically humbling ourselves in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu because we're in desperate need right now. And so therefore, we want more degradation. So for the Nasi and for the Av Beis Din, for others to put ashes on their head, that results in more degradation, and that hopefully will result in better tefillos and tefillos that are more acceptable. For the rest of us, meaning we're not already operating on this high level, so for us, it doesn't really make a marketable difference whether we put the ashes on our head, someone else put the ashes on our head, but for the Av Beis Din, for the Nasi, who are in an elevated position, so when others put on their head, so that results in higher degradation. That's the Gemara's answer. And as we are on the top of Tezayin and Aleph, now specifically, where in the head are you going to be putting it? So I'm Rav Yitzchak b'makom tefillin, shenamar lasum le'evei le'tzilin, la'seis lehem pe'er tachas efer. the place where they glorify themselves, meaning that's the Tefillin Shel Berosh, that's our glory, right? Rashi quotes the Gemara in Brachos, the glory is our Tefillin Shel Berosh. So that's where they're going to be putting the Tefillin on your head. Okay. Sorry, that's where you're going to put the ashes where the Tefillin should in fact be. Okay, Ad Kan. So far we've covered the beginning of the Mishnah, describing the Aron being taken out. It's only during the third round of fast days, of public fast days. And then, just some specifics in terms of, we start with the Nasi, we then go to the Basin, then we go to the rest of the people. We talk about the ashes of the head, where specifically the ashes are to go. Okay. Rechov Teva, there is a minhag, by the way, a pretty popular minhag. I don't know how it is nowadays. So, that the Chassan, right, prior to him going on to the Chuppah, so they would put ashes on his head as well. Right? He's in an elevated status. And so therefore, it's an appropriate time to remember. But that's Zeichel HaChorban, though. Not exactly what we're describing over here, but okay. It's similar. Correct. Rechov Teva V'sakim Efer Efer Kvura Kvura Maria Siman. So the Gemara gives us a mnemonic to help us remember the upcoming Gemaras. Let's begin. Lama Yotzim L'Rechov. So we go out to the street. Okay, so now, the Gemara asks really simple questions, meaning there obviously is a lot of symbolism over here. The Aron taken out of the shul, put in the street, and so the Gemara would like to give basic explanation to a lot of the actions that are done and that are being described in the Mishnah. So we start off with a really simple question, taking the Aron out of the shul into the street. What's the meaning behind that? So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar, Lamar Zakna B'tzinav Alo Ne'enenu, Niv Zatzmenu B'far Hesya. So look, we tried doing it privately, meaning in the shuls we tried doing it, didn't work. Okay, so we're going to try something else. So we're going to go out into the street. Right, by Tachanun. So the Torah has this kind of language where, what do we do for Tachanun? So we're nofel al apayim, we fall down on our head. Okay, that didn't work. Okay, we're going to sit up. Okay, that didn't Same thing over here. We're going to try it all these different situations. We tried indoors, that didn't work. Okay, now we're going to go outdoors. And the truth of the matter is that it's more embarrassing when we go outdoors, and maybe that will help out. Reish Lakish Amar Galinu. So Reish Lakish gives a different explanation. That is Galus. It speaks to the exile. Galusenu Mechaperos Aleinu. So, and the fact that we're exiled, so that provides a kapara. Right? The Gemara makes this idea numerous times. And that galus provides a kapara. And so over here, when we're exiled from our shul, so that hopefully will be a kapara. So there are two different explanations of why go outside. Number one, because we tried indoor, now we're going to try outdoor. Or the second explanation is because it's a function of galus. So the Gemara over here treats this as if it's a halachic discussion, which it is. And the Gemara says, "My benayu, good, is there a nafkamina?" The Gemara says, "Sure, there's a nafkamina." Ika benayu degalami bekenisha la bekenisha. Let's say we're exiled from one shul to another shul. So if the explanation is exile, good, perfect, check. In other words, we're exiled. If the explanation is we tried indoor, now we're going to go outdoor, well, going from one shul to another shul is not going to satisfy that explanation. That's called a nafkamina. V'lama motzi mesater v'lerchov shel ir. Now the Gemara wants to know, why specifically are we going to be moving the Aron to the rechov shel ir? Now, rechov shel ir translates as street of the city, but it's basically city center, right? Whatever it's the center point of the city. It's where people congregate. So Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, Lamar Klitz Anu Hayalan V'Nisbazi Ba'Avoneinu. So look, the Klitz Anu, the Aron is one of the most private things that we have going. Meaning it's in the shul, it's inside, it's in a private area, right? In the Beis Hamikdash, the Aron is in the most private area, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And now what we're doing is that we're taking the Aron, which is generally a private area, we're taking it out into the street, and we're degrading it by making it now public. So the Gemara says that's it's a bizui, it's degrading, and hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond to that. V'lama mitkasim b'sakim. And then what we do is we take sackcloth, and we're wearing the sackcloth. So I'm Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, lamar harei anu chashuvim kebehema. So we're basically saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, we're like animals. Sackcloth is the hair of goats, and when we're wearing the sackcloth, it's like we're donning animal skins, if you will. And basically, the imagery is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we behave like the animals, or we're lowly like animals. Now we're taking the ashes and putting on the Aron. putting it on the Aron. Why would we do that? Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi, klomer imo in anochi betzara. It's Kaviyacha, Kadosh Baruch Hu saying that I'm together with you in this state, meaning the Aron is a representation, and so when we're taking the Ephraim, putting it on the Aron, it's as if the Shekhinah is with us. Anytime that we experience pain, Akash Baruch Hu also is experiencing the pain as well. Kaviyachol, as if we could say that. Amar Rebbe Zera Mereshke Avi, Chazina Lehula Rabbanan. Rebbe Zera testifies that when he saw the Chacham in Diavu Efer Mikla, Agabe Teva, and he actually saw this. He saw the Efer go on the Aron Mizdazer, Kule Gufe, my whole body would shake. Meaning I really had a visceral reaction to actually having seen this. Now, why do we take ashes and put it on everybody? Meaning we put it on the Aron, we explain. That's Ki'ilu the Shekhinah. And we put it on the Nasi and the Beis Av and the Rosh Beis Av. So we explain that as well. Why does everyone have ashes on? So Pliga Bar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama Rabbi Chanina. So that's a machlokus amongst the Amorayim. Chanamar Harianu Chashuvim Lefanecha Ke'efer. So one explanation is basically we're like ashes. Right, Anochi or Anachnu Afar VeEfer. So VeChadam Hakadoshis Golanu Efer Shol Yitzchak. And another explanation is that we're going to remind Hakadosh Baruch Hu of the ashes of Yitzchak. Okay, now the ashes of Yitzchak. So the Gemara does this a couple of times, and that is it treats Yitzchak as if he were shechted by the Akedah. Now, of course, we all know how that story ends, right? There is no spoiler alerts over here. In other words, Yitzchak was not shechted by Akedas Yitzchak, but there are a couple of times in the Gemara as if the Gemara treats that there was a shechting of Yitzchak. The easiest way to explain the Gemara, okay, I take it back. I don't know about easiest, but a simple explanation of the Gemara is that the Ayol replaced Yitzchak, and so when the Ayol was shecht, it's Ki'ilu Yitzchak was shecht. That would be a simple way to explain the Gemara, but I'm aware of the fact that there are other explanations. I'll just leave it at that. So right now we have two explanations of what the purpose of putting ashes are on our head are. Number one, to basically reduce ourselves and say we're like ashes. Or number two, remind ourselves of Yitzchak. So my benayu, you could benayu, afristam. What if you don't have ashes? Well, let's say you only have dirt. So if it's the first explanation of reduction, so dirt works perfectly. Anochi afar ve'efer. Dirt, ashes, it basically shows that you're lowly. So that would be fine. However, if the issue is Akedas Yitzchak, to remind us of Akedas Yitzchak, well, then we're looking for ashes, not for dirt. Okay, so then dirt wouldn't be good. Again, the Gemara is treating this as, you know, a standard halachic discussion. Lama yotzim lebeis akvaros. You're going out to the cemetery. So why go out to the cemeteries? So pligi ba Rabbi Levi bar Chama v'Rabbi Chanina. So the Gemara over here brings down again a machlokus. So the charamar harianu chashum levenecha kemesim. Again, one explanation is that basically we're like a mace. Again, it's to debase ourselves and to lower ourselves, and you know we're not that important, we're not that significant. And chadam akadeshiv akshu alein amesim rachamim. Or the other explanation is that basically we're looking for a melech yosher, we're looking for intermediaries, and so the mesim can daven on our behalf. Now over here, much discussion to be had in terms of whether this is proper and appropriate from our gemara and today's daf, tani's daf tet zayin. So it certainly sounds like there is something to be said about using the mace as an intermediary. But it suffice to say for now that there's a lot of literature on this particular topic. Okay, so my benayu kebenayu kevreakum. So the Gemara now points out that based on these two explanations, so the nafkamina would be if we went to kevreakum, if we went to a non-Jewish cemetery. If the whole idea over here is just to lower ourselves and say we're like mason, so then it doesn't matter what mason we go visit, and Macy Akum would be fine. However, if it's for an intermediary, so then it would have to be Macy Yisrael, not Macy Akum. Again, it's an Afkamina. Okay, the Tosus over here points out, right, a lot of exciting Tosus on today's daf, but over here I'm just highlighting the fourth Tosus over here, Yotzin, Lebeis HaKvaros. Tosus writes, Mikano Agim B'chol Makom Leilech, Lebeis HaKvaros B'Tisha B'Av. So there is a minug, says Tosus, to go visit cemeteries on Tisha B'Av. Sharei Tisha B'Av have a Tanis Sibor, Kamo Shayu Osim Ibnei Agashamim. Because our Mishnah is describing the behavior of a Tanis Sibor. We already learned twice in our Masechta that in Bavel there's only one Tanis Sibor, and that, of course, is Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av basically takes on the status of a Tanis Sibor, so therefore it would be appropriate to go visit the cemetery on Tisha B'Av. Okay, whether that's a continued minhag to this day, I don't know, right? There is somewhat of a minute to go visit the Kivrei Avos before Rosh Hashanah, right during Yamim Noraim. But this minhag, I don't know. But Tosos here speaks about an old minhag of visiting the cemetery on Tisha B'Av. That was a minhag. Okay. So, my Har HaMoriah. So, what is Har HaMoriah? Meaning that we made reference to Akedas Yitzchak. So, over here, it was described as Har HaMoriah. So, the Gemara wants to know. So, and anyway, Rashi points out over here, the participants of the upcoming Machlokas are the same as we had previously. So sometimes the Gemara just transitions from one point to another simply because we have the same Bar Plotus. So Har Maria Pligi Bar Rebbe Leva Bar Chama Rebbe Chanina Chanamar Har Chiyasa Mimenu Hora'a Li Yisrael. So why is it called Har HaMoriah? So one explanation is that it's rooted in the word Hora'a, meaning that we're going to be issuing Psakim from this area. Now this area over here is the Makom HaMikdash, meaning the Har Maria where Yitzhak is shechted ultimately is the Makom HaMikdash. We know, this is Rashi's explanation, we know that the Makom HaMikdash is going to have the Sanhedrin there, located right there. The Sanhedrin is going to be issuing Hora'ah. They're going to be ruling on behalf of the Jewish people. Good. So that is that is one reason why it's called Moriah, from the word Moriah, a ruling being issued. V'chad amar har shiyasa mimenu Moriah lo'ovde kochavim. Another way to say it is that this is where the nations of the world are going to see us and they're going to fear us. Rashi writes over here, I'm reading the Rashi, Sheshomim gedolos Yisrael v'Yushalayim, because they're going to hear the greatness of the Jewish people, the greatness of Yerushalayim, u'mispachtim aleihem, and awe and fear are going to spread out through the world based on the gedula of the Jewish people of Yerushalayim, and Moriah from the word Mara, from the word fear. Okay? There is another pshat in Rashi, happens to be that Tosos also gives a similar pshat as well, but it's a little bit difficult because then it assumes that we're not talking about Har Moriah, meaning the Beis HaMikdash, we're talking about Har Sinai. Anyway, see Rashi, see Tosos for more. Also, another Tosos I'm going to highlight today, but I'm not going to read it, is that we are describing Har Moriah, which is eventually going to be Makom HaMikdash, otherwise known as Yerushalayim. Where did Yerushalayim get its name from? Okay, so this is an exciting Tosos right here in our daf. So Tosos says that Yerushalayim is a composite of Yera'er, meaning Moriah, and also Shalem, because it was also referred to as Shalem. And so basically what it is it's a contraction of the two words of Yera'er and Shalem. Tosfos points out, that's why whenever you see the word Yerushalayim being written, it's without a Yud, meaning it's not Shin Lamed Yud Mem, but it's Shin Lamed Mem, because really it's a composite, it's a compound of two words, Yera'er and Shalem. Okay, and see Tosfos more about the name of Yerushalayim. Just one observation, which is made already numerous times. The word Yerushalayim is never found in Chumash, meaning in Tanakh, yes, multiple times, but in Nevi'im and Ksuvim, but not in Chumash. Chumash never describes it as the city of Yerushalayim. So clearly the city received that particular name at a later point in time, and Tosfos talks about how we got there. Okay. So that admittedly is a really exciting Tosfos right here in Adaf. Hazakin Shemahem Omer Lefnem Divrei Kavushim. Okay, so now we're just following along in the Mishnah over here in terms of procedures for the day. So now the Aron is taken out. Everyone has ashes. Good, we described that in some detail. And now we are describing the Musa Shmuz that we're going to be hearing. So we're going to be hearing it from an elder. And the Gemara now is going to be describing. So if we have a Zaken available, perfect. He is the perfect person to speak to us. However, if not, you have a Chacham. The imlav omer adam shel tzura. Otherwise, get somebody who's tall. Now, I know that sounds funny, but Rashi says that you get somebody who's tall. So people tend to listen to people who are tall. Okay, it's so funny. It's so funny. By the way, there's a lot of research that supports this, but to me that doesn't matter. Meaning the Gemara says it. That's a starting point. But but it's fine. It is funny. In other words, yeah, there's something. There's a lot to be said about having a good stature, a tall stature. Now, the Gemara is bothered by the fact that we transition from a Zakin. If you don't have one, so go get a Chacham. What are you talking about? A Zakin is a Chacham. So, and that's the Gemara's issue over here. Atu Zakin, Dekarmi, Afagav, Delav, Chacham, who? Well, you're having a Zakin, in other words, just an old person who's not a Chacham. So, Amar Rabbi, Hachi Kamar, Sabai says, okay, so let me tell you what Pshat is. It's pretty intuitive. Probably you would have guessed this. But the Gemara spells it out. Im yei zaken vehu chacham. So you have a zaken who also happens to be a chacham. So Omer. So good. Omer zaken vehu chacham. That's the best person. The person that should be given the Musar Shmuz is not only somebody who's older, but somebody who's older and also a Talmud Chacham. That's your best person. Now, v'imlav, Omer Chacham. If not, if all you have is a Talmud Chacham, but he's not old, okay. V'imlav, Omer Adam Shotzur, and if not, so then just get somebody who's tall. Okay. Achenu lo sak v'tanis garmim ala tshuva masim tovim garmim. So this is now going to be the continuation of the Musar Shmuz. Meaning, what is he going to tell us? So basically, the Mishnah and here in our Gemara right now, We're basically feeding him his lines. So achenu lo sak v'tanis garmim ela tshuva masim tovim garmim. Meaning, look, we're fasting and we're wearing sackcloth. That's wonderful, but that's not the most important thing. That's just simply the means. What's the end? The end is tshuva masim tovim, that we actually reform. We our behavior actually changes. Shekem asinu banchenin v'shalom nemar behem v'yar lokim es sakam v'es tanisam ela v'yar lokim es maaseyem kishavu midar kamara'am. Okay, and it's just a simple reading of the Pesukim in Yonah. Kadosh Baruch Hu is picking up not on the fact that they're fasting, although they are, but on the fact that they're actually making real changes in their behavior. Okay. Look, as long as we quote the Pesukim in Yonah, so the Gemara would like to spend just a little bit of time with more of the Pesukim over here in Sefer Yonah. So what do they do? So they're wearing sackcloth. But not only are they wearing sackcloth, but they're putting sackcloth on their animals as well. Now, we could just observe, that's strange. The Gemara does more than that. The Gemara just not only observes that that's strange, but the Gemara gives an explanation. My havda avde, asra behemos lachud, ve'es havlados lachud. So what they would do is that they would take the animals, they would take the offspring, and they would separate them. Amru lefanav, and they said the following, Rabbanu Sha'olam, im ein atam rachim aleinu, if you don't have compassion upon us, ein anum rachim al elu. We're not going to have compassion on the offspring. Okay, right. It's a strong way to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A number of times throughout Shas, we see this kind of like strong language when we're petitioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right. Probably the best example I could think of off the top of my head is Chana and the way she speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when petitioning, when pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so it's a real conversation. Okay, I'm not totally sure how much the Gemara is supporting, endorsing this kind of talk, but it's a real talk when and you're having a real conversation. Okay, vayikru el Elokim b'chazaka. They call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chazaka. So the Gemara would like to know, what does that mean? Again, in Sefer Yonah, this is Anshei Nineveh, and they're speaking strongly with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So my Amar lefanav, Ribbono shel Olam, aluv v'sheinu aluv. When you have somebody embarrassed, somebody not embarrassed, tzadik v'rasha. So mi nidchem mipnei mi. So who normally gets pushed off in front of whom? Meaning right now, look, we're totally reformed, meaning we're totally ready to do whatever you're asking us to do. So now what? So now you're going to push us away? Okay. So they had that kind of strong conversation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Vayishuv ish midarkar ra minachamas asher bechapehem. Again, we're just one more time today, we're going to be quoting a pasuk from Sefer Yonah with an explanation. May umin hachamas asher bechapehem. So what does that mean? That anything they stole that was in their hands. So I'm a Shmuel. Afilu gezel meirish ubanu bebira mekakeh kol abira kulo umachzir meirish leba'alav. So they would even return a beam that was built into their home. So this has to do with takanas meirish. The Gemara at the end of Baba Kama speaks about this in detail. The idea is that when you steal something, you have to return it, right? The heishiv is like zela. However, what the chachamim is instituted was what's called takanas meirish. You stole a beam, you built it into your house, and now what? Now you have thoughts of doing tshuva. Yeah, but I'm not going to do tshuva, meaning it's right now built into my house. I'm going to take apart my whole house in order to return it back? No thanks. The Chachamim said, okay, for such an individual, we're going to make an exception. So an exclusion, and that is that he doesn't have to return the beam, even though that's the mitzvah of the Torah, but he could just simply return the value of the beam. This is what's called Takanas Meirish. So over here, what Anshei Nineveh did is that they went above and beyond. Meaning that even though Takanas Meirish allows them not to have to return the actual stolen item itself, but rather just pay its money, they deconstructed the whole house in order to return the actual beam itself. They went above and beyond. A lot of simple questions, which I don't know the answer to, right? In other words, Takanas Meirish is for non-Jews as well? Meaning we're talking about Anshei Nineveh over here. We're not talking about a Jewish community. So the Takanas Merish applies to them. It sounds that way from our Gemara over here. I don't know. I'll raise the question, but I don't know the answer. Amar of Adam bar Ava, Adam sheish biyado avera umizvada ve'eno chozer ba. So let's say a person has an avera in his hand and he now makes full admission, this is what I'm doing that's wrong. At the same time, however, his Yetzirah is still really strong and he hasn't really made any steps towards reformation. In other words, he's acknowledging, yeah, this is what I'm doing wrong, but that's it. So lamahu dome, so the Gemara says, what is it comparable to? And this is one of the most famous, popular comparisons of the Gemara. Adam shetov esheretz biyado. Shafilo tova b'chol meimosh ba'olam la'atalo tefila. So this is what the Gemara classically refers to as tovel v'sheretz biyado. You're toveling in the mikvah, but you're still holding on to the sheretz. You're holding on to the dead sheretz. So what is the tefila going to accomplish? Nothing. Because the moment you come out of the mikvah, so you're going to become tummy because you're holding a sheretz. Right? Maybe, and I don't know if this is correct, but maybe in the water for a moment, you had some sort of tahara. I don't even know if that's true. But certainly the point is that when you tovel, when you come out and the sheretz is still in your hand, it's a health nisht. It does not help you. And so same thing in general. When you have a particular avera and you're doing vidu in that particular avera, but you continue to do the same avera, so that's tovel v'sheretz biyado. So zarkum yado kevin she tovel barim sam yad al talot tefila. Now, let's say you throw the sheretz away and then you tovel on the mikvah. So look at that. All of a sudden, your tefillah is going to work. Shenemro moda ve'azov yerucham. V'omer nasala v'venu el kapayim el bashamayim. Okay. So a number of psukim that speak to this idea that the only tshuva that's going to be valuable is the tshuva where it's going to be coupled together with an actual change of behavior. Okay. Right. Oh, yeah, right. You have the nusach for this as well. Okay. Okay. Amdu b'tfila moridin lefnei ateva zakin v'chulei tana rabbanan. Amdu b'tfila afa pishyesham zakin v'chacham ein moridin lefnei ateva ela adam haragil. Okay, so who's going to be leading us in the davening? So in the Mishnah, we kind of described it over here in the Braisa, on the very bottom of Tazayin and Aleph. So we're going to be giving a little bit more of a description of who's going to be leading us in the davening. So over here, adam haragil. So you need somebody who is basically a regular. Right, the word ragil, regular, by the way, right, sounds almost identical. And you need somebody who is accustomed to davening, who has a good nusach. He knows what he's saying. He's totally comfortable with it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mitupal ve'ein lo v'yeshlo yigia basada ubeso rekam. So well, he's got a lot of dependents, right? Mitupal. In other words, he's got a lot of children. He doesn't have a lot of money. And right, we saw this in the Mishnah, but here the Bryce is being a little bit more detailed in terms of basically we need somebody who is desperate. So somebody who knows how to daven and right now has a lot of responsibility and is really feeling, the famine and is really desperate. Upirko na, you need somebody with a nice beard. Vishafal berech. Rashi describes that as being an anav, somebody who's humble. Umirutza la'am. People like him. In other words, right, I only understand this as I'm getting older, but basically there are certain Bali Tvila that you know, right? He goes up there and everyone's happy and everyone's comfortable. V'yeshlo ni'ima v'kolo arev, he's got a really good voice. U'baki likros b'tor v'nima v'ksuvim, and on his own time, you're going to find him learning. He's going to be learning Tanakh, v'ksuvim, u'lishanos b'mejush, and he's also learning b'halachos v'agaros u'baki b'chol abrachos kulan. And he's familiar with all the brachas and how to say over all the brachas. Okay. In other words, you need somebody who is, right, really an upstanding member of the Jewish community and is frequently learning. So over here, so you need a lot on your resume in order to be the Sheikh Sibur. And so the Gemara says, look, at their time, so they had somebody who was unanimously understood to meet all the all the requirements that we just said, and that was Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ami. Okay. The Hainu Mitupal, the Einlo, Hainu Beis Orekam. Okay, so in the Braisa, we're on the top of the Amud Beis, so in the Braisa, so we just gave a description, some of the expressions over here seem to be redundant, meaning we said Mitupal, he's got dependents, the Einlo, and there's nothing in the house. And then the Braisa says, and Beis Orekam, and his house has to be empty. That's superfluous. So Amrav Chissa, Zeu Shebeis Orekam in Ha'Evera. So the Gemara says, no, we're not, in the second expression, we don't mean that he's got nothing in the house because we already established that. It means that his house is empty. It means that there's no averes in his house. Okay, there's no skeletons in the closet. Although the Gemara elsewhere says everybody's got skeletons in the closet. In fact, the Gemara says it's good to have skeletons in the closet, right? But I understand, right? The Gemara talks about how it humbles an individual, it makes him right. It doesn't allow him to get inflated, his ego inflated. Okay, but I'm sure there are easy ways to resolve our Gemara, that Gemara. Fine, upirko na'e. Amar Rabbi Zeshalo Yasa Shem Rabbi Al Duso. Now Pirko Na'a, I said he's got a nice beard. Okay, because that's your standard translation. But the Gemara over here gives a somewhat different interpretation, and that is that as a child he didn't mess up too much as a child, right? The Haisalo Nachlasi Karye Beyar Nasna Alai Bekola Al Kain Sine Siha. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yirmiyahu, and in our context. So the Gemara interprets the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. My nasna alai bekola. Amar mezucha bar tovi. Amar rav. Amar la. Amar rav chama bar. Rabbi chama. Amar rabbi lazar. Zeh shleich sibor. This is a reference to a shleich sibor. Meaning, look at the pasuk in the context. Meaning, the al kain sinei siha. Right. I'll just say the pasuk as it is. Right. I despise such an individual. What kind of individual are we talking about? Somebody who unfortunately as a child did a lot of things that were incorrect, even though later in life he went through a reformation he was a bit of a reformation project, but nevertheless as a child he committed a number of acts. So such an individual should not be a shliach tzibur. Okay. I think the easiest way to explain the Gemara, I think, okay, it just means I think. I think the easiest way to explain the Gemara is that in terms of a Baal Tshuva, obviously the Baal Tshuva status is on a really high level. We're talking about him serving as a ambassador for the Jewish people in terms of being a Shliach Tzibur. Okay, so for that, you need somebody, right? Even though the Shliach Tzibur status is on a really high level, but still, for a Shliach Tzibur, you need somebody who is, right, not just currently in a good position, but also historically as well. Okay, just a different criteria for Shliach Tzibur. I think that's the easiest way to say over the Gemara. We skip the parentheses. Okay, now, I did this yesterday when we went through the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to do this now as well. And that is, explain how the Mishnah says that there are 6 additional brachas and the Mishnah then counts 7. Like, that was confusing. So yesterday when I went through the Mishnah, so we did this. And that is that... The first chasima that the Mishnah counts is not an additional bracha, but rather it's the padded bracha of Goel Yisrael. Goel Yisrael, you're adding a lot more. In other words, again, we're holding like the Chachamim right now. Okay, if you remember yesterday in the Mishnah, so there were 2 ways to explain the additional 6 brachas. We're going to assume like the Chachamim, meaning the Tanakam of our Mishnah, that additional brachas 1 and 2 are Zichronos and Shofros. And the way Rashi explains it, basically, what you're going to be doing is you're going to take the whole nusach of Zichronos in your musaf of Rosh Hashanah, and you're going to add that. Where are you adding that? So that's going to pad up the bracha of Goel Yisrael, which means that's not an additional bracha. It's just padded. It's a padded bracha. So, and that's why for the first chasima, the Mishnah is counting that as 1. But that's not your first additional bracha. That's your first padded bracha. And then, from that point going on, so you're going to have 6 additional brachas. Okay, so when all said and done, so it's going to be 7 chasimas. The Goel Yisrael being 1, plus 6 more additional ones. So that gets us to the 7. That's what this is what I mentioned yesterday. And again, I said all that yesterday because, you know, again, I looked ahead a little bit. That's what I'm supposed to do. So, Hani Sheh Sheva Havyan. So the Gemara says, why is the Mishnah counting 7? So kiddenan, al shvi'as u'amer, baruch merachem ala aretz. Okay, because the 7th one is baruch merachem ala aretz, which is really the 6th additional bracha. Amar av nachmar yitzak, my shvi'as le'aruka. So the Gemara says, okay, and 7 means that there are 7 lengthened brachas, meaning the Goel Yisrael, which is part of the standard nusach of Shmon Esrei, so that's going to get lengthened. That will call 1. And then another 6 after that as well. Okay. Okay, Detanya, and here the Gemara is going to be quoting a Braisa. So, Begol Yisrael Marich. So in Gol Yisrael, so you extend that bracha. Uvechosma hu omer. And here's what you say at its conclusion. Misha ana es Avraham b'harmer Yahu yanes chamishma b'kol tachaschem. Yom hazeberuch goel Yisrael. Okay, so and you end off with goel Yisrael. Meaning it's still, when all said and done, it's still a standard bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. It will still end with the words goel Yisrael, but it's going to get padded. And it's going to get padded with a lot of zichronos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please remember us. V'hein onin achrav amen v'chazan ha-knesses amar lam tiku b'nei aron tiku. And then after that bracha is concluded, so instruction to blow shofar. So again, we went over this point already, that they are blowing shofar at the conclusion of each of these additional brachas. So, and tiku, right? B'nei Aaron instructed to do the tekiah. Right? It certainly sounds like that the Kohanim over here are the ones who are going to be doing the tekiah. Take out the next two words. Misha nazavasen al yamsuf hu yaneh eschem v'yishma b'kol tzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatzatz Ve'ein onin acharav amen. V'chazan knesses omer lehem haru b'nei Aaron hariu. Okay, and then the next bracha, which is now going to be the first of the additional brachas, the six additional brachas. So that is going to have the all the zichronos. And v'chem b'chol bracha u'bracha b'echad amar tikkah v'echad amar hariu. And what we're going to be doing is just simply alternating between tikkah and shua. Okay? What I thought, and apparently I'm wrong, is that for at the end of each one, you do tarat. You do tikkah, shua, tikkah. It doesn't really sound that way. What it sounds like is that after one, you do tikkah. After the next bracha, you do shua. And you're alternating between tikkah and shua. That's what it sounds like. Okay, I'm probably confused by the brisa that we saw a couple days ago that said that after six, there are going to be 18 tikkahs altogether. So that's why I figured it's tikkah, shua, tikkah after each one. That's what I thought. Okay. And I also happen to remember that in that brisa that we did, there were other nuschos in terms of how to say over that brisa. Okay, anyway. Okay. Everything we just described is how it's going to sound like outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But if we're doing this special nusach of Tanit Sibor in the Beis HaMikdash, so it's going to sound a little bit different. Notably, and we went over this point numerous times, and we get to say it again in today's daf, and that is that in the Beis HaMikdash, they don't answer Amen. And when you hear a bracha, so generally speaking, of course, the proper response is Amen. In the Beis HaMikdash, you don't say Amen, but rather you say Baruch Shem Kavod Machusol Le'olam Va'ed. Now, I'd love to give you a really simple explanation. I don't have a really simple explanation. Right? It happens to be, it's a drasha. It happens to be that we're going to see the drasha together. Okay. So, b'medvar mamor and b'gvul and avah b'mikdash en okein. Lefi she'in onin amen b'mikdash. So you don't say amen in the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, ain she'in onin amen b'mikdash en emar. So over here, it's based on a pasuk in Nehemiah. Kumu baruchu es Hashem lokechem in olam et olam v'yavarchu shem kevodecha. So over here, the focus is on blessing shem kevodecha. Right, you see that Baruch Shem Kavod Machusol Le'olam Ve'ed. Umrama Makol Brachu Sehila Yachol Akol Brachu Kulan Lo Tehila Tehila Achas Tamalamar Umrama Akol Brachu Sehila Akol Bracha Tehila Tehila. For every bracha, so we're gonna extend the praise. Ve'ela B'Mikdash Ma'u Omer. So if we don't say Amen in the base of Mikdash, what do we say? So Baruch Hashem Elokim Elokei Yisrael Amen Olam Ve'Olam Baruch Goel Yisrael. So we end. So you're gonna hear the Shliach Sibra saying the words Goel Yisrael, which is, again, the conclusion of that first extended bracha, and v'hein onin acharav, and what do the people say in the Beis HaMikdash? Baruch Shem Kavod Machusol Le'olam Va'ed. Again, the focus over there is on the shame, and that we say that the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should go on in perpetuity. V'achazan HaKnesses Omer Lehem Tiku HaKohanim B'nei Aaron Tiku. And again, we just finished an extra bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei, so, and it's the Tanit Sibur. So again, so we blow shofar. V'chozer v'omer misha nasav rambar mirya hu yaneschem v'shma v'kol ta'akaschem ha'yom hazeh baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael zocher hanishkachos v'hein onin acharav baruch Shem kavod machusol le'olam va'ed. Okay, over here the brisa is just being a little bit verbose and just in terms of giving the example, but just to make sure that we get the idea, in the Beis HaMikdash, not amen, but rather baruch Shem. V'chazna knesses amar lehem hariyu konim b'nei Aaron hariyu. And again now, so we're going to be blowing shofar. So in the previous bracha we did tikkah, and this bracha we're going to be doing shua. V'chein b'chol bracha u'bracha ba'achas amar tikku v'achas amar hariyu. And you keep alternating between tikkah and shua, ad she'igmor es kulan, until you finish it all. V'chein hinig rabbi chalafta b'tzipari v'rev chananya ben trajon b'sichni. Now it happens to have been that this protocol that we just went through, so it happens to be that Rabbi Chalafta in the town of Tzipori, that's well outside of Yerushalayim, that's all the way up north, right next to Tveria, and Rav Chananya and Ben Trajon in the town of Sichni. Sorry, I can't help you there. I don't know where that is, but the anyway, but outside of Yerushalayim, they continued. They perpetuated this minhag. And now the Chachamim caught wind of this minhag, and immediately they corrected. They said, no, that the only time that you say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vaed, the only time it's appropriate is only in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so they corrected that minhag. The East Amri Kedetanya. Now, here we're going to do this again. We're going to learn everything we just said. We're going to learn it in a Braisa. Okay, and this is going to sound very familiar. Omer lifnei esrim v'arba brachos shmonesre shebechol yomu mosif aleim od sheish. So the osan sheish heichan omran. So over here the brisa is going to be very specific in terms of where the six additional brachas go, and that is bein goel l'rofe, between brachas numbers 7 and 8 in Shmona Esre, right? Rifayinu is bracha number 8. By the way, the Gemara Megillah says that numerous times I've told you that the Rifayinu is bracha number 8. All right, it's based on the Gemara Megillah. Meaning, first of all you need to do is just count, and you'll get there. But on top of that, the Gemara Megillah says that Rifayinu is bracha number 8 because it's reminiscent of the Mila. The Mila, which is done on the 8th day, and obviously the Rachanimo needs a refuah. So it's by design, right? Every word in Shemona Esrei is by design. But even just the ordering of the brachas, it's all by design. It's all a choice that the Chachamim made, specifically Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. And so the 8th bracha is Rifayinu, the 7th bracha is Geula, right? I don't think the Gemara itself, we'll remind each other when we get to Megillah, I don't think the Gemara gave a specific explanation why Geula is number 7. I'm sure we could think of one. But anyway, but these additional brachas that are added on Tanis Tzibor are going to be inserted between brachas number 7 and 8. So, Ben Goel Arofe, Chole. Umarich Begeula. Now, in terms of Geula itself, that bracha, I know we've heard this already numerous times, but again, it's just another brisa telling us that bracha of Geula, that bracha is going to get extended. Veheno ninacharav amen, al kol bracha u'bracha. And after you hear every bracha, so amen. V'kach hayuno hagen begvulin. And that's how you do it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Because, of course, outside the Beis HaMikdash, when you hear a bracha, the appropriate response is amen. Aval b'mikdash hayu amen bruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Min olam v'olam bruch goel Yisrael. V'lo hayu onim acharav amen. V'kol kach lama lefi shein onim amen b'mikdash. I know it sounds repetitive. Again, we're just learning another brisa, so it is a little bit repetitive today. Uminayin she'ein onim amen b'mikdash, she'nem rakuma bracha usha shem alkechem in olam v'adolam, v'yavarchu shem kovedechem rama makol bracha v'sihila, akol bracha bracha tein lo tehila. Again, the pasuk in Nechemia, which we saw before, we're going to do one more brisa for today. Tanu Rabbanan. Al harishonos huomer bracha shem alkechem in olam v'adolam, v'yavarchu shem kovedechem rama makol bracha v'sihila, akol bracha bracha tein lo tehila. Again, the pasuk in Nechemia, which we saw before, Le'olam va'ed. Obviously, right now we're in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Chazan HaKnesses are Matiku Kohanim Tiku, and now we're going to blow in the shofar. Now again, the first tkiah is going to be a tkiah, and then V'chozer V'Amir Mishanas Avram Baramir Hu Yaneschem V'Shma B'Kol Tzakeschem Hayom Azeski Parentheses V'Al Shnia Hu Amir Baruch Hashem Alkei So Min Ha'Olam Ve'Ad Olam Baruch Zocher Nishkachos Ve'Hein Onin Acharav Baruch Shem Kavod Machusol Le'Olam Va'ed. Again, this is the standard nosach in the Beis HaMikdash. V'chazan HaKnesses Omer Hariu b'nei Aaron Hariu. And now the instructions are to give a trua. V'omer mishanas avasena yamsuf hu yaneschem v'shma b'kol tzakaschem hayom azeh v'heim marim v'token umarim v'chein b'chol bracha u'bracha v'achas omer tiku u'v'achas omer hariu az shigmor es abrachos kulan, until you complete all the brachos. V'chein, and now we're going to hear this again today. Hinig Rabbi Chalafta b'Tzipor Rav Chananya ben Charjum b'Sichnei ukishaba davar etzol chachamim amr lo hayu nohagin kein ela b'sha'arei mizrach uvahar habayis. So, and the only time that they would do this is only in the eastern gate and only by the har habayis. Ad kan. We'll stop over here and let's just quickly recap. I told you a lot of words today. So let's quickly recap our daf today. So in the beginning of the of our daf, we started with the Gemara, right after all the Mishnayos were front loaded in the beginning of the second parak of Tanis. So we started with the Gemara. Point number one is that our Mishnah is describing round three. Three rounds of fast days that are instituted for the lack of rain, and they intensify. And our Mishnah talking about the Teva being taken out to the street. So that's a description of the third round of 7 fast days. A lot of detailed points within the Mishnah, I'm just going to highlight a couple of them. I'm not going to In the summary, I'm not going to be able to go through everything, but just some basic highlights. Number one, the order in which it's brought down. First, you have the Nasi, then the Av Beis Din, and then the people. And we're talking about a klala. We're talking about a lack of rain. So why are we starting from the top? When dealing with Gedula and Bracha, so we start from the top and we work our way down. When dealing with klala, we go from the lowest to the top. The Gemara gives examples for both. Why is the Mishnah starting with the Nasi? So the Gemara gives an answer. Okay. We take the Teva out into the street. So why into the street? The Gemara gives two explanations. The Gemara gives a nafkamina between the two explanations. Why specifically the Aron taken out to the street? There too, the Gemara gives a number of, actually one explanation. Why are we wearing sackcloth? So to that also, the Gemara gives a couple of explanations. Why put ashes on the Aron? There too, the Gemara gives a couple of explanations. Okay. Right, it's just, we covered so many different issues today just from our Mishnah. The minhag to go to the Beis HaKvaros. So what is that going to be predicated on? Again, the Gemara gives two explanations for that. Gemara gives a nafkamina for those two explanations. Who are we putting up there to be giving the Musar Shmuz? So the best person is both an elder and a Talmid Chacham. And if not, the Gemara has a pecking order of who we should put up there. If not, all the way down to, if in a worst-case scenario, so get somebody tall to go up there. Okay. What exactly is a Musar Shmuz going to sound like? So the Gemara quotes from Psukim from Sefer Yonah, specifically by Nineveh, where obviously they were successful Balei Tshuva, and we're looking to the members of Nineveh to teach us how to become successful Balei Tshuva. We quote a number of Psukim from Yonah, giving explanation to those Psukim. Okay, who's going to be the Shliach Tzibur davening for the Amud? So on the bottom of Tezayin Amud Aleph, going well into the top of Tezayin Amud Beis, so the Gemara gives us an explanation of basically who's going to be our best Shliach Tzibur, and we went over the basic resume of what the Shliach Tzibur is going to look like and what he's going to sound like as well. And then for the balance of the Amud Beis, right, this is easy in terms of reviewing. For the balance of Amud Beis, we went through the Nusach of Shmoneh Esrei Anatan Tzibur, and we compared and contrasted what's going to sound like outside the Beis HaMikdash versus inside the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, good. Adkan.